At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And welcome to Signs of the Hour. We're continuing with the minor signs that have yet to come. Now, some are really strong. Look at this one in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not be established until no one remains upon the earth who will say La ilaha illallah. It's just almost hard to imagine, right? That there will not be a person on the planet who will say La ilaha illallah. I said again, when you hear about this, the lifting of the Qur'an, the destruction of the Kaaba, you immediately understand that this is towards the very end of time. Because we saw towards the end of time that someone will say, our forefathers would said La ilaha illallah, so we say La ilaha illallah. And that's all they know and that's all that existed upon about Islam at that point. Because at that point, when you know La ilaha illallah, you know everything about Islam. That's all there was to know. That's why it saved them back then, or at that point it will save. But today, to say La ilaha illallah and not pray and drink and eat haram and think you'll go to Jannah and it will save you, doesn't work, as the scholars say, because there's a lot more to do and to be done. But in the future, that's all that they will have. So it will be enough to save them from eternity in the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. So we said, those indicate very end of time. So the hour will not be established until no one remains on earth who will say La ilaha illallah. That means it's very end of time. Next one, from Samurah ibn Jundub, radiallahu anhu, narrated the Prophet ﷺ said, the hour will not be established until the mountains are removed from their places. The mountains are removed from their places, and you will see great things which you have never seen before. Now, what are these great things? And Nabi ﷺ didn't mention them. Just there are going to be a lot of amazing things that will happen. Now, that doesn't mean, the iPhone 15 coming out. Amazing things, like really amazing. Not, lame social media apps. So, the mountains will be removed from their places. What does that mean? It could be one of two explanations. Number one, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move these mountains from their places. And sometimes you see videos of amazing things. There's a video, I think it was in Italy. It was just the whole side of this huge mountain just sliding right off. Just coming right off like that, not volcanic eruptions, but mountains being removed from their places. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause that. Two, caused by human beings. Human beings removing mountains. Reclaimed land mostly, is mountains. It's interesting. If you look at, like for example, the Netherlands, Ireland actually has a lot of reclaimed land. Bahrain has a huge amount of reclaimed land. So basically, they do it differently though. In Bahrain, they take from the ocean bed and then come and pour it out on the surface again and extend the land. So the ocean gets deeper. But places that have mountains, you'll be surprised by the amount. Dublin, for example, also in Ireland, a lot of the land, reclaimed land. St. Petersburg in Russia, formerly Leningrad, also a lot of reclaimed land. Hong Kong, I remember going to Hong Kong on the plane. As we're getting closer to landing, you look out and all you see is just these mountains just being pushed into, like broken up and pushed into the waters to create more space, more land. Anyways, so it could be mountains being removed from their places, seeing amazing things. The Prophet didn't specify. Could be by Allah Azza wa Jalla, could be by human beings moving mountains from their places. Next one is Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The last one was by Tabarani. This one, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ حَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ السِّبَاعُ الْإِنسِ حَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ السِّبَاعُ الْإِنسِ. The hour will not be established until predatory animals will speak to humans. So that means it's going to happen, and it's going to be not just a one-time thing, But it's going to be quite common that this person, the wolf will speak to him, that person, the tiger will say something to him, the lion will say something to him. And what will they say? It doesn't matter, and who cares? It doesn't. That's not the point. It's not like, and if you tell your friend, today a tiger said something to me, then your friend will be like, well, I'm very curious to know what the tiger said. Like, shouldn't you be more curious that the tiger spoke, Aslan? What if the tiger said, this chicken tastes good? It's not about the message of the tiger, it's the fact that the tiger spoke. So, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, حَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ السِّبَاعُ الْإِنسِ وَحَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرِّجَالِ حَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرِّجَالِ عَذَبَتْ صَوْتِهِ عَذَبَتُ صَوْتِهِ وَشِرَاكُ نَعْلِهِ So here it's saying, and until a person or speaks to, and of course it's a two-way conversation, to the tip of their whip and their sandal strap. And someone probably says, oh, what if they invent the eye shoe in the future that can speak to you, you know, or the eye whip? What do you need a whip for? They're not going to produce a whip. The point is that if it's just something technological, there's nothing miraculous and from the signs of the hour about it, if it's just some device that you hold. But the person speaking to the tip of his whip, your shoe speaking back to you, and you speaking to it. Because it has to be a two-way conversation. Because if it's just a man speaking to his shoes, it's just a crazy person. All right. But if it's the shoe speaking back, then it's something from the signs of the hour, something out of the ordinary. All right. Then, وَتُخْبِرُهُ فَخِذُهُ بِمَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ And then his thigh will inform him of what his family did in his absence. And of course, I give an example of this one. People will say, oh, this is the cell phone. Because you put it here in this pocket, and you pull it out, and you talk to your family, and they tell you what happened when you left. But there's nothing miraculous. And does it make sense that the cell phone is paired in this hadith, or put in the same category as lions and tigers constantly speaking to people, inanimate objects speaking, shoes speaking, and then your cell phone, which is just a device that connects you to your family, and they tell you what happened in your absence. Doesn't really sit with those other three things, right? So, how? Allah Ta'ala A'lam. This is something in the future, alright? But it is as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is authentic, and we believe whatever is authentic from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now what if someone says, well, but you guys are just believing in this, you've got no evidence, doesn't make any sense. Of course it makes sense, alright? Before I answer that, this is another hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, while a man was riding a cow. Anything strange about this hadith? Yes, the man is riding a cow. Why are you riding a cow, right? The cow turns towards him. It turns towards him and said, I have not been created for this purpose. I have been created for plowing. So it tells him, I'm not for riding, I'm for plowing the land. Then the Prophet ﷺ, okay, added. He didn't just end the story there, but he added, I and Abu Bakr and Umar believe this in this story. You see? Because there's something not normal about it. The cow turns and speaks to this person. Hey, why are you riding me? I wasn't created for riding. I'm created for plowing the earth. So the Prophet says, I and Abu Bakr and Umar believe this story. Now, he didn't ask them, but he knows. So which category will you fall with? Before I explain the logic, before you know the explanation, will you fall in the category of the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar? Or will you be with those other people who don't believe this story? Then the Prophet went on. He said, a wolf caught a sheep. And when the shepherd chased it, the wolf said, who will be its guard on the day of wild beasts, when there will be no shepherd for it except me? And then the Prophet narrated that, and he said, I and Abu Bakr and Umar also believe it. Because the wolf is speaking now. Alright, so how do we explain this? It's very simple. If someone says, well, this is not logical, or this is not scientific. I explained many times that most people don't know what scientific means, and they use it very, very incorrectly, right? But are there animals on earth today that speak? And the answer, of course, is yes. And people think of, parrots and all kinds of birds that speak. You know, and I know you've seen videos of pet dogs and cats speaking or saying a few words. Doesn't matter. The point is, birds are the most eloquent when it comes to speaking, even though they may not understand what they're saying, but birds speak. Who created birds? These animals, where did they come from? Who created them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're agreeing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an animal and made it able to speak. Okay. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an animal that He already created that doesn't speak and make it speak? Yes, and He'll make it speak German too. What? There's no problem whatsoever. Like, people try to make it look like they're logical. You're extremely illogical. If you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, He can make anything speak. So what is not logical here? You understand the logic or not? Makes sense. Alright. So, but things that are like out of the ordinary and supernatural, which don't necessarily have to be phones and satellite dishes and things, but things that are supernatural, out of the ordinary, and we don't want to fall into the, you know, this always interpreting things according to our present world. Then another sign of the hour. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hour will not be established until the people will be given a widespread rain, but nothing from the earth will grow forth. This is narrated by Imam Ahmad. That, and there's no timeline given here. No timeline given. So this could be any time in the future, or it could be now. But basically, it will rain, but nothing from the earth will grow. There will be no barakah in rain. The next one is mentioned by Imam Muslim by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The hour will not be established until the Euphrates, the Al-Furat, the Euphrates River, uncovers a mountain of gold, over which people will kill, yani they will kill each other. Out of every 100, 99 will die, and each one of them will hope that they will be the only survivor. Out of each 100, 99 people will die. So, okay. What's interesting is, number one, as we speak, the Euphrates River is drying up. You could Google it, you can go visit it, but as we speak, the Euphrates is drying up. The Prophet ﷺ said this 1,400 years ago, and it's drying up as we speak. So it will continue to dry up until it uncovers this mountain of gold. Now, when this mountain of gold is uncovered, everybody tries to go get that gold. And everyone's so greedy, people start to kill each other. So we're traveling to get the gold, we camp together. At night, you know, this person will kill everybody in the camp because he wants to be the only one who gets there. And when he gets there, other people will try to kill him, and so on and so forth, so they can get that gold. So, out of every 199 will die trying to get the gold. But what's sad, the Prophet said, each one of them will hope that they'll be the only survivor. One of the scholars said, the fact that they hope that they'll be the only survivor, that means they know that out of 199 die, that means they know this hadith. It's possible, but it's also possible that news traveled that out of each 199 die, meaning huge numbers are dying trying to get this gold. And they know that news, but they still think, you know what, there's a 1% chance, inshallah I can make it, I'll be that 1%. Everybody thinks they'll be the 1%. So, why did the Prophet ﷺ tell us that? Why do we learn the signs of the hour? So that we know how to behave when it happens. If right now, you're watching TV, and you hear that the Euphrates River, a part of it dried up, and it uncovered this mountain of gold, what would you do? You have to act upon what the Prophet ﷺ said. If you hear about it, don't go. Don't say, oh, inshallah, I'll be that 1%. I'll make dua, make dhikr on the way. La, habibi. Don't go. That's what we were told, so that we act accordingly. So the only time, I was telling people jokingly, yani, that if you're the first one to discover the mountain of gold, then tell me, okay? And then we'll go before the news, before everybody knows about it. We'll take our share, and then we'll step aside as the people kill 99 out of 100. Alright. So, that was the Euphrates drying up and uncovering a mountain of gold. Also in Sahih Muslim, this is in Medina, the city of Medina, expelling its residents. Alright. So, the Prophet ﷺ says, a time will come upon the people when a person will invite his cousin and relative, saying, come to prosperity, come to prosperity, and Medina is better for them, if they only knew. By the one in whose hand is my soul, no one will leave it willingly, except that Allah will replace them with someone better. So the city is just going to be, people will leave it willingly, and then someone better replaces them. So it's just going to have the best of people. And then Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, Al-Madina is like bellows, expelling impurities. You know, bellows are used to generate like a strong force of winds for blacksmithing and other things, for a foundry, metal foundry. So Medina is like bellows, expelling its impurities, and the hour will not be established.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Until Medina expels its evil residents, just as bellows expel the impurities of iron. So people will start to leave, the bad people leave Medina, good people replace them, and they just get rid of, you know. But anyways, there was a story I used to tell there, I'm going to skip for a minute. But that's what's going to happen towards the end of times. Next one, the ruin of Medina. So is it populated, or is it ruined, or is it abandoned? You have to understand immediately that this will be different time periods. So it's not like we have 50 years left for the end of the world where everything has to happen. There's plenty of time, Allahu A'lam, where things can happen and the world can change. This one in Sunan Abu Dawood, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Bayt al-Maqdis is taken, Medina will become abandoned. And when Medina is abandoned, there will be a great battle. So now we're seeing Medina populated in one hadith, then abandoned in another hadith. Different time periods. Now there will be a great battle. And when the great battle occurs, Constantinople will be conquered. And when Constantinople, which is Istanbul today. And when Istanbul or Constantinople is conquered, Al-Qustantiniyah is what is today Istanbul. When Constantinople is conquered, the Dajjal will appear. Oh, there's so many things to talk about here, right? So we're seeing Medina being repopulated, because when the Dajjal appears, the safest place is to be in Medina and Mecca. So, but it just said the Medina is abandoned. That means that happens, then it's repopulated again. So, Constantinople, Constantinople, that's Istanbul. So Istanbul, according to this hadith, Muslims will lose control of it. And then it will be regained again after a great battle. And then the Dajjal will appear. Let me see if that's the next hadith I have. No. But there are actually a lot of explanations. A lot of back and forth here. Yeah. We're coming to the separate one for the conquering of Constantinople. So we'll continue as we are. There will be two rulers. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. This was the first one. The hour will not be established until a man emerges from Qahtan who will lead the people. أَوْ لَا تَقُمُ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ رَجُلٌ مِّن قَحْطَانَ يَسُوقُ النَّاسَ بِعَصَاهُ. The hour will not be established until a man emerges from Qahtan who will lead the people with his stick. So some people said that the fact that he leads with a stick indicates that he's going to be severe. He's not going to be like a kind, just ruler. He's going to be severe. That's why he's got a stick. That's one opinion. But, wallahu alam, the more correct opinion is that he rules with a stick. It shows that This is Imam al-Qurtubi. He says the fact that the Prophet says يسوق الناس بعصاه كناية عن استقامة استقامة الناس, يعني that people will actually accept him when قيادهم, that people will actually accept him and they will follow him as a leader and they will obey him. So why does he have a stick then? How does a stick show obedience and not that he's harsh? Because they said he's ruling with a stick, not a sword. So he just points with it, just like something you hold like for decoration, you know? Like when a king holds a scepter, is the scepter for smacking people with? He's just holding it, right? So he rules, يسوق الناس, he directs them and guides them with his stick. He doesn't need a sword. So that indicates that people are obeying him, they accept him, and that he is illegitimate. And he is from Qahtan. So the scholars who argued that he is just and righteous, they use that argument. And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said about Qahtan, وَرَجُلُ مِنْ قَحْطَانِ كُلُّهُمْ صَالِحٌ. They're all righteous. So that adds more to the argument that the Qahtani is a righteous man. When will he emerge? Allahu ta'ala a'lam. There are no hints here. But it seems that he's a righteous, a salih, a righteous person, and not someone who is a tyrant. But then there'll be another ruler. His name is Jahjah. لا يذهب الليل والنهار حتى يملك رجل من الموالي يقال له الجهجه. All right. So the nights and days will not pass, meaning the day of judgment will not come, until a man from the mawali, a mawla is a freed slave, until a slave will rule, he will be known as Jahjah. Some scholars said Al-Jahjah is the same as the man from Qahtan, the first one, the righteous man ruling with the stick. But others said, no, that's not possible. Because he cannot be a freed slave and be from Qahtan. Qahtan يعني is from the great tribes and from the leading tribes from amongst the Arabs, pure. How is that man from Qahtan going to be a slave? That's not possible. This is a different man from Al-Mawali, and he will be known as Jahjah. So Al-Jahjah here, is he going to be a good ruler or a bad ruler? Well, they said in classical Arabic, the meaning of that name is someone constantly shouting. And so they're saying that, according to the scholars, they're saying that a person who is Al-Jahjah in this case will be someone who is not worthy or someone who has bad character. All right, so that means Al-Jahjah is not a good ruler, but someone else, like a bad person, coming in the future. Okay, we've got some things about the Mahdi, and that's when we're going to get into the major signs before the hour. But for now, this is a narration from Imam Ahmad. The first of the tribes to go into demise, yani to die out, will be Quraysh. And it is almost as if a woman passes by a sandal and says, this was the sandal of a Qurashi. So, which could indicate that they might disappear suddenly. What does it mean the woman will walk by and say, this sandal used to belong to someone from Quraysh? It, as if it indicates that they die, they go suddenly. And if they start to dwindle over hundreds of years, not like they're going to have remnants left over, but the fact that the woman is saying, oh, this used to belong to a Qurashi, as if a Qurashi, and as if he left recently and just left their belongings behind. So something, what is it? Something kills them, they die of something. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, we don't know. And it's not even for anyone to speculate here. There's not enough material or hints for anyone to guess and think, oh, it's going to be a genetic this, or it's going to... Just leave that. Okay, let's see what we can do here with the conquering of Constantinople. In Sunan Abu Dawood, when Bayt al-Maqdis is taken, Medina will become abandoned. When Medina is abandoned, there will be a great battle. And when the great battle occurs, Constantinople will be conquered. And when Constantinople is conquered, the Dajjal will appear. So we can see clearly, this is towards the end of time. Constantinople is conquered. So then what is happening? Like, where is... How do we lose Constantinople? Istanbul today. So we had scholars disagreeing, right? Some said that Istanbul will be lost. So the Muslims are in control of it. Muslims will lose control of it, and then will regain it again towards the end of time, right before the Dajjal. That's one explanation. And honestly, that's the explanation that makes a lot of sense. That even though it's a Muslim city now, we will lose it. Whatever it is. Yani people start, oh, that's because they will join the European Union. You don't know that. We don't even know there will be a European Union in 1,000 years from now. We don't know the future. So whatever it is, it will be not considered under Muslim control anymore. And then the Muslims will regain it towards the end of time, before the emergence of the Dajjal. That's one explanation, and very plausible. The second one, probably a little insulting to people who live in Istanbul, or to Turkish people in general. Some scholars said, we lost it. We lost it a long time ago. When Kemal Ataturk came and he did all the things that he did, that's when we lost Istanbul. We don't consider it a Muslim city anymore. But the truth is, if you go to Istanbul today, and you're probably going to go for one thing. Actually, two things. One, you're going to go see the sites. And what are the sites? The masajid. So you are going to a Muslim city to see this masajid. Two, you're going to go because of their kebab. But that's not the point. We're all fasting, right? And hungry. Not the kebab. Let's stick with the sites. When you go to Istanbul, will you hear the adhan being called? Will you see people in hijab? Will we find a place to pray? Yeah, yes, there will be alcohol and other things. But will you say this is not a Muslim city? And is it any less Islamic than Cairo, for example? Or less Islamic than, you know, Dubai or any other place? Yani, that's actually more Islamic than Dubai. I don't care what anybody says. So how can Dubai be a Muslim city and that's not a Muslim city? Anyways, the point is that opinion has its issues, as you can see. So, this is the Prophet ﷺ then describes here this what will happen. He describes Al-Qastantiniyah, Constantinople, and he says that Sami'tum bi Medina, that have you heard of the city? Part of it is in the water, the other part is in the water. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, the hour will not be established. La tuqum sa'a hatta yaghzuha 70 alfan min bani Ishaq. It will, so 70,000 from Bani Ishaq, from the children of Ishaq, will charge or march towards it to take it over. فَإِذَا جَاءُوهَا نَزَلُوا فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوا بِسِلَاحٍ وَلَمْ يَرْمُوا بِسَهْمٍ. So when they get to it, they're just gonna camp, and they're not gonna fight with a weapon or shoot an arrow at it. So there's some scholars again said arrow, they shoot an arrow. It could be that they will shoot an arrow because something happened to technology, but it could also be that they will shoot a gun. The Prophet didn't want to say the word gun. Just create confusion in the hadith. It'll be 1,400 years of people being confused from this hadith before we finally understand it. And it's not about all about us. You know, some people are like, oh yeah, we can understand it. Yeah, you now, but before guns were made, how would people understand this hadith for thousands of years? Anyways, قَالُوا لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. They will say, Allah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. And then, so part of the city will collapse. And then, and they will say takbir again until the other side collapse. And they say takbir again until the third part of the city collapse. So they take it over without using any weapons or anything like that. Then, Al-Qadi Iyad, he says, there must be some mistake, because he says يَغْزُوهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا مِّن بَنِي إِسْحَاق, from the offspring of Ishaq. And the Arabs are the offspring of, and not just the Arabs, but يعني, the Muslimin also, and in this camp, the offspring of Ismail, right? So Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah, this great scholar, he said, no, the Arabs were the ones intended, not the children of Ishaq, but the Arabs. But Ibn Kathir said, no. He says that this hadith, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الرُّومِ يُسْلِمُونَ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ. He said this hadith indicates that the Europeans will become Muslim towards the end of time. وَلَعَلَّ فَتْحَ الْقَسْطِنْطِينِيَّةِ يَكُونُ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِي طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ كَمَا نَطَقَ بِهِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُتَقَدَّمِ أَنَّهُ يَغْزُوهَا 70,000 مِّن بَنِي إِسْحَاقِ. So he says, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, that the conquering, perhaps the conquering of Constantinople, or Constantinople or Istanbul will be on the hands, upon the hands of a group of them. This group of people who are European, who are, you know, Romans, يعني from Europe, which is, you know, from Asia basically, the part of Asia known as Europe, and then they become Muslim, and they're the ones who go and free Constantinople just with their takbirs and tahleels without shooting a single arrow, which is really, really powerful. And there's a hadith then, and that shows a group of them, of the Europeans, leave and come and join the Muslim ranks. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, and then the rest of the army will say, خلوا بيننا وبين الذين سبوا منا نقاتلهم. يعني then the Muslims will say, فيقول المسلمون لا والله لا نخلي بينكم وبين إخواننا. So this group now leaves, they got the army of the Muslims and this Western or this European army, and then a huge group leaves and becomes Muslim and comes. So they will come and say, hey Muslims, stand aside and let us fight those who left our ranks. And the Muslims say, no, wallahi, will not stand aside and let you basically and leave our brothers. Anyways, the conquering of Constantinople without any fighting is something that definitely has not happened yet. So it is from the future signs before the Day of Judgment. Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, أنه قال فتح القسطنطينية مع قيام الساعة. Conquering of Constantinople will be towards the end of time, يعني close to the Day of Judgment, meaning the Dajjal times and those towards the end.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to 2 free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.